Are you free? Thank you. Then stay free. Act like you're free. I don't want to see no more bondage. Amen. Come on. That's why I played that song. Because the body of Christ doesn't act like they're free. And I want you to get that in your spirit, that you are free. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing to you. You are free. Amen. Come on. Well, I received a gift today that I have to share. It's a cup. It says, be careful or you will end up in my sermon. Be careful or you will end up in my sermon. Amen. My son Chris Lynch gave that to me and his daughter Trinity, my granddaughter. Isn't that precious? I love it. I love it. He wanted to know if it made me happy. I kept laughing and laughing. This is my prized possession. How many of you know you have ended up in my sermons? Amen. More time than you care to think of, right? Thank you, Chris and Trinity. That's precious. I had never seen one with that saying on it. Amen. God is good all the time. Before we open up in prayer, I want to read I had a dream last night. I dreamed I was in heaven. It was bright, you know, just bright light everywhere. It was in this big room, and everybody was dancing and rejoicing. And there was just joy all through that room. There was just nothing but joy. All my loved ones that died went to heaven. They were up there. They were all dancing. But the person I was dancing with was my mother. And I kept saying, Mom, I've got to go. I can't stay here. She said, but Barbie, you're happy up here. It's so much rejoicing. And she said, I love it here. I said, Mom, I can't stay with you. And when I was trying to pull away from her, I said, I have to go back. I just have to go back. And then I woke up. So I asked my son, Chris Lynch, what it meant. He said, well, that is just an awesome dream to dream about heaven like that. I feel as if it ties into the now, as in I have felt something bad is going to happen any day now to cause panic and chaos in the world. But God's glory, everything was in white. We all had white on. You know, the whole atmosphere was white. But the glory of all in white is going to fall upon the world, and it will cause a huge celebration, dancing and singing. Seeing your mother was a confirmation of heaven in the dream, but you still have work to do for God right here now. And I keep telling God, I can't go because I haven't finished my work yet. So, and then I realized that I've been to heaven many times. Remember, it's always all white and white quarters and everything. Everybody says when they go to heaven, they see the golden streets and this and that and the other. But every time I go, I see the white, and everything is white, totally white. So see, you might have been to heaven yourself and did not realize it. You know, God said we can go to heaven anytime we so desire. But, you know, you might have been to heaven and you're looking for golden streets and whatever else. And whatever you might have been there and seen something that nobody else has seen. Are you listening? And you know, the white is a glory, and I'm always talking about the glory, and so God takes me into the glory in heaven. Amen. Think about this. Just think, maybe, just maybe, you've been already in heaven. So you need to quit asking to go to heaven and just allow God to just take you anytime he wants and show you wherever he wants to show you. We know that the glory is here. We know it's getting stronger and stronger. And we know that God is doing great and mighty things. I don't have to have somebody tell me the glory is here. I just know it is. Well, I did have to have somebody tell me because God told me. Remember, he said the glory is already here. It's just not here in all of its fullness. And he's been showing up in the services and showing us that the glory is here. But tonight, I want to talk about something else. Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you. I feel the joy in the atmosphere in this room tonight. I really do, Father. Maybe I brought it from heaven. I don't know, but the joy is in this room tonight. And Father, I just so desire that, I just plead the blood of Jesus over this joy in everybody's life. And Father God, the joy will remain. The joy will not leave your people. And Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you for this joy. Let it saturate into everybody's being right now. Let them just overflow with joy, Father God. The joy that they can take with them when they leave this room, and a joy that will abide forever. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, your angelic hosts, all of heaven, Father. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, amen. I don't know about you, but I have been excited for quite some time with what God is doing. He's doing little things. And this is the things he wants us to look at, the little things that he's done. Not the great big mountain thing he's doing, but the little things. He always says, do not despise small beginnings. And see, and we aren't looking at the little things. We want big things. And God's trying to tell us, enjoy the little things that I'm doing right now. And quit looking for great big things. Just enjoy the little things and then watch how he'll move the mountains. All right, I ran across this testimony. It's about healing the sick. Now, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, you can pray for the sick. I'm just trying to get you, with this thing I ran across, I'm trying to get you into a different direction. And I know this is God, all right? Because God said, anything you place your hands to do, I will do it. All right. Now, the Lord Jesus called me to a healing ministry in 1993. This is this person's testimony right here. Through the years, I've had opportunity to speak to many ministers and read many books about healing. But most spoke about praying for the sick, and it didn't seem to produce a great percentage of results. It made me wonder why all these prayers weren't getting the sick healed. You listen now. I said you could pray, all right? It made me wonder why all these prayers weren't getting the sick healed. Most of my Bible study has been in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because I want to know how Jesus did things. And isn't that what God told me? Read about my son, see what he did, and you can do the very same thing. So maybe you need to start studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because I want to know how Jesus did things and what he taught his disciples to do. One day when asking the Lord why so many people were not being healed these days, the Holy Spirit impressed very strongly on me. I didn't tell my disciples to pray for the sick. I told them to heal the sick. You got that in your spirit? If you came here to see Christopher tonight, I'm sorry, I just can't be Christopher. My skin's not dark and I'm just not him, all right? But I'm going to give you what God gave me to give you. All right, I did a search. You should never come to see a special speaker. And I'm not saying any of you did, but you should never come to see a special speaker because I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit will change that in a heartbeat. That's why we don't advertise who's going to be teaching. You should be coming to hear the word. It doesn't matter who God uses to give it. All right. All right, I did search through the Gospels looking for every time that Jesus prayed for the sick and could not find any. Nor could I find any place where Jesus instructed his disciples to pray for the sick. However, he did command them in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Obviously, if Jesus commanded the disciples to heal the sick, then the backing from heaven was there to do it, right? God told me, anything you place your hands to do, I will do it. The backing from heaven. Otherwise, Jesus would have been at fault for commanding them to do something they were not empowered or enabled to do. Then revelation became clear to me. Jesus never once prayed for the sick, asking his Father to heal them. He simply commanded them to be healed or said, I will be thou healed. And it was done. Now look, that we're going into the glory. We're going into the signs, wonders, and miracles. God is using this to teach you how to really receive signs, wonders, and miracles. Sometimes Jesus rebuked his sickness and it left, such as when he rebuked a fever from Peter's mother-in-law in Luke 4:38-39. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. That was Jesus. And they made request of Jesus concerning her. So Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. He didn't pray for the fever. He rebuked it. And immediately she arose and served him. Don't tell me that was Jesus. We're supposed to be doing the same thing Jesus did, all right? In Matthew 17:18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and a child was cured from that very hour. There are a few scriptures where Jesus rebuked the spirits within, and the people were healed. Now, you religious bunch that's listening or even in here, you just need to get the religion out of you, get your spirit man alive, and listen to what God's really saying to you tonight. This may strike you as being very controversial and out there on the edge, but what I'm telling you is absolutely scriptural. Please check it out for yourself. Go home and start reading your Bible. Luke 4:40-41 says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Remember, I said I don't lay hands on anybody anymore because I want you to know the Holy Spirit's doing it. What happened Sunday night? He told me, everybody I tell you to prophesy to, I want you to go to them and lay your hands on them. And I couldn't walk anymore. The anointing was so strong. But everybody I laid hands on received a special touch and anointing from God, and they were healed of something. All right? And demons, in verse 41, and demons also come out of many. Did you notice that Sunday night I was commanding demons to stop their activities? And demons also come out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And, you know, as I wrote this scripture down, I thought, God, I just wish the people knew that you were the Christ. I just wish the people would know how powerful you are and how powerful the anointing that we have through you and your blood. The demons know and they tremble. We walk around saying, duh. Right? Many have been the prayer sent up for the sick through the ages, and through the mercy of God in answer to those praying, there have been people healed. But there is a better way, and it's the way Jesus healed and instructed his disciples to do. Did Jesus pray? Yes, of course. The Bible says he sometimes stayed up all night praying to his Father. Was he asking his Father to heal people? The Bible doesn't say. But I know if he did not maintain that close relationship with his Father, he would not have had the anointing, power, and authority to heal the sick. That's why you pray 10 hours, because you don't have a relationship with God, and you're trying to make God to move a mountain that he can't move because you're not close enough to him. I'm just blowing all your minds tonight, but if we're going to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, we have to get this here mind straightened out so we can walk with God and do what he wants us to do. Now, in John 5:19-21, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. I can't do anything. I just do what Jesus did. And I know there's a heaven, and I know there's a hell, and I know that God is my Father. And so I just walk in the truth that I know. All right? For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these. Why? That you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. All right, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. God loves me. God has shown me in his word what I'm supposed to be doing. All right? And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. God allowed me to perform many great signs, wonders, and miracles. And Dover marveled and rebuked me. Said I was a demon. And don't come anywhere near me. All right? Listen to this. People are going to put you down because they're still in a religious mode, and because they don't do it, then why are you doing it? I went to a pastor and said, you know, God's doing all these things. I didn't understand what's going on. She said, just sit down and shut up. You're the devil. Why did she say that? Because she wasn't walking in signs, wonders, and miracles, and she'd been having a church for a long time. I love her dearly, and she's passed away now, but that's what she told me. But if I would have listened to that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Are you listening? I want us to look at the raising of Lazarus in John 11:32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, I don't know why Jesus wept. I don't know if he wept because Lazarus was dead or because he had to know he was, or if he wept because of their doubt and unbelief. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Yes, he could have. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? They could have raised Lazarus from the dead if they'd have really believed. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. I shouldn't say that, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. Amen. All right. Verse 40 said, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away. Now, he might have been saying there. They were crying and weeping. So, if you would have been here, this and that and the other. And he was saying, why don't you believe that when I came, you would see the glory of God? Right. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. See what he said? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You know, a lot of times when I would pray for the sick, I'd say, Father, you said whatever I laid my hands to do, you would do. And then I would command that person to be healed, and they were healed. And this is what Jesus was doing here, right? He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What has God told you you could do? Then you say to him, Father, you said I could raise the dead. And that's what I did when I started raising the dead. I said, Father, your word tells, I don't care what these people are saying, your word says you can raise the dead, that I can raise the dead. And I said, so I'm going to raise the dead. And whatever you place your hands to do, I will do for you. Amen. The one poor man I raised from the dead 3 times. Each time he came back, he said, Barbara, please don't pray. He said, God opened up the heavens, and he said, the reason why you have to go back is because she's praying for you. She's believing that you're going to be raised from the dead, and you got to go back. That happened to him 3 times. And the 4th time, whenever God told me he was going to take him, you know, and I went to the hospital real quick, and Doug said, Barbara, please don't pray. Quit your believing you can raise me from the dead. He said, just let me go. He said, I want to go. So I didn't pray that he would be raised from the dead. I didn't. Well, I wasn't praying. I was asking God to please let him live. All right, verse 43 said, and when he, all right, no, 42. And I know, Jesus said, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus didn't have to say any of that. He just wanted the people to know, all right? It wasn't for himself. It wasn't because he was in doubt and unbelief. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't do a 20-minute prayer. He did a big shout, right? And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. We know the Lord Jesus healed people because of his great compassion, but also to give us an example how to do it ourselves. Some people say Jesus healed because he was the Son of God. There's no arguing with that. In Matthew 10:55-8, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely gave. I read that in the scriptures and I believed it when I was born again. I just knew I could do anything that God said I could do in his word, and I did it. It was doubt and unbelief that took me out of that realm. I started believing what the people in Dover said. And I started believing I really shouldn't be doing this type of thing. And so God said to me, if you don't get out of your doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So I had to start then regrouping and get myself back in the fact that God said it, I can do it. Any of us can do it. Here in Matthew 10:8, when Jesus empowered his disciples to heal, that opened the door for all of Jesus' disciples, that's you and me, to be empowered to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. We all can do that. We really can. One person cannot do that. You know, Jesus said we're going to do the greater works. So Jesus was doing all the healing, right? But when he went away, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Now we could heal multitudes of people. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. How can we know this commandment is to us today? It's written in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, period. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is where people say you should only be baptized in the name of Jesus. But the Bible tells us you should be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And people just grab this spirit, this and run with it. And I don't know what to do with the other scriptures. It says how, you know, that you should be, you know. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, so as many as the Lord our God will call. So that promise is to everybody in this room. Guys, if you're going to walk in the signs, wonders, and miracles, you're going to have to start picking up what Jesus did and start doing the very same things that Jesus did, the way Jesus did them. With the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit comes the power unto the believer. We need to be using that power to do the works that the Lord Jesus commanded us, including healing the sick. But how freely have we been giving out healing? How many lepers have been cleansed? I call that cancer. How many dead raised? Not very many. Yes, we prayed a lot. But looking back, how convincing are the results? There's some of you sitting here tonight, I know that God has told you your hands are anointed to heal. What are you healing? You know, I don't see people being healed. That's a thought. I just want you to think, all right? We can say that most of Jesus' followers since the early church have not been taking advantage of the resources the Lord Jesus made available to them. Once in a while, there have been those who, through much study and prayer and revelation, have operated powerfully in areas not even touched by the majority of believers. And it isn't because it isn't available to all of Jesus' followers. It's because they fail to believe it's for them. You can't operate in the gift of God if you don't believe you have it. Remember when I was up to Gary Whetstone's and I got thrown across the road? I mean, the thing. And then Francis Hunter said, Barbara, you already have this gifting. God did told you not to come up here. Go back and sit down. See, I didn't know I had it. I really didn't know I had it. But she said, you already have it. Go sit down and start using it. Are you listening here? Let's look at an example written of the disciple Peter in Acts 9:36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him to not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon Tanner. I don't know what Peter prayed, but after he was through praying, he reached over and healed her. You know, if I have Nancy standing from his, "Oh Lord God, heal Nancy." See, that's praying for healing. But if you walked, if I just said, "In the name of Jesus, receive your healing right now." See what I'm saying? See the difference? And how many of us have done that? "Oh, Lord, you got to heal them in Jesus' name." But we don't use our power and our authority just to heal them. Peter had been with Jesus and heard his teachings. After Peter received the Holy Spirit and the power thereof, he healed the sick and raised the dead, even after Jesus had returned to heaven. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. Your religious junk can't go, do this. You can't take religious junk with you. You're going to have the Holy Spirit totally and completely ruling and reigning in your life. And you're going to have to believe the words of Jesus written in red in the Bible. And then you're going to have to go forth. You can't go forth junked up. You can't go forth unholy. You have to be holy. Go forth now. Lay hands on sick and watch him recover. Come on. We've got this all backwards. We're trying to do it with our messed up minds and our bodies that are tainted and thinking that God's going to move. God isn't going to move. And God's been telling us to get close to him. And some people are standing afar off thinking God's going to use them to perform miracles, and that's not going to happen. You know, anybody in here that does not want to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, you are missing one of the greatest things that you should be having, being a child of God. And if your flesh is stopping you, I feel so sorry for you. I really do. I know about signs, wonders, and miracles. I know what it feels like just to walk somebody and have them, and you get healed. I know what it is for God to say to me, "Reach down there and touch their legs." And not even touch their legs, just reach down there. And God automatically, not automatically, but God supernaturally heals them. I know what it is to raise the dead. The only thing I don't know is how to walk on water. I'm going to master that. You wait and see. You see, so I'm not sitting up here trying to tell you, I'm not sitting up here teaching you something that I don't know is real. And why can't you receive this? Some of you aren't receiving this. You wish you weren't even here. Why can't you receive the fact that you could just go by somebody and touch them and heal them? I mean, Sunday night was such an explosive thing. God said, "You must touch them when I tell you to go prophesy to them." I don't know why God had me do that. I couldn't even walk to my car that night. They had to help me. All right, and it happened that the father of Publius, or whatever his name is, lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. Here it said Paul prayed again. I don't know what he prayed. I want you to notice something here. Paul prayed, then laid hands on him and healed him. He was not standing or kneeling by this man saying, "Oh, God, heal him." He wasn't doing that. He first of all, I don't know what he asked the father. And then he turned around and he laid the hands on the person and they were healed. He could have been saying, "Oh God, don't let me down this time." You know, because I really have prayed for people up here when I started walking in doubt and unbelieving. I said, "God, is this really going to happen?" You know, that was praying. Is this really going to happen? And I laid my hands on them. It didn't happen. God doesn't work in doubt and unbelief. All right. I want you to notice something here. Oh, okay, I said that. I believe Paul prayed like Jesus and said, "I know you hear me." We don't actually know what Paul prayed, it doesn't say, but we focus on the part where it says, "and healed him." That was an act of obedience by walking in the authority God granted him by Christ Jesus. It is written in James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayers of righteous man avails much. I don't necessarily see anything in these verses that indicate the person was physically healed by the prayer of faith, simply that the sick would be saved. This is a salvation prayer. All right? The context of this passage was talking about salvation. But healing comes by command as Jesus taught his disciples. It's time we stop praying for the sick and started healing them according to the commandment of Jesus. In Luke 7:21 said, and that at very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This is what needs to be spoken about out there in the world that is lost and dying. They need to say, if you go here, this is what you're going to see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. You're not going to go into that building and see a bunch of dead bones sitting in there. You're going to see the activation of God's glory in there. And when you walk the streets, the activation of God's glory should be on you, and miracles should be happening wherever you go. The following scriptures speak about infirmities, Matthew 8:17 and Luke 5:15. Now Luke 7:21 says, and that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to him, go and tell John the things you... Oh, I just read that, okay. There are two scriptures speaking about praying for the sick, and that's in James 5, verses 13 through 15, and Matthew 19:13. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. You people who don't want to allow your kids to get prayed for, you are in trouble with God. There are three scriptures that speak of healing in Matthew 10:8, Luke 9:2, and Luke 10:9. And John 5:19 said, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Now, I want you guys, I read this again because I want you to read in the Word what Jesus did. And then when you read in the Word what Jesus did, because God told me this, is how God taught me, then you go out and do what Jesus did. I think, who was it? Do what Jesus did. Somebody had that motto going. Was it? Yeah, what would Jesus do? Yeah. And see, this is what we should do. What would Jesus do in this situation? All right? Verse 20 says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. You can raise the dead, but you have to believe. You can resurrect your home, but you have to believe. You can bring the glory into your home to such an extent that the darkness has to leave. Instead of us sitting there saying, God, do something in here. God's been showing me this lately. We need to do something in here. We need to speak the glory of God in there. We need to anoint the doors and windows and command the devil to leave and never come back in. We need to do everything that Jesus did. And we're not doing what Jesus did. You know, we pray for a lot of sick people. But I don't ever see you walk up and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And that's what we should be doing. You know, somebody has cancer. Cancer, in the name of Jesus, I command you dead. Leave their body right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to that cancer. God, reach down with your mighty hand and touch them and heal them. Deliver. I mean, I was doing this for a while. And God said, what are you doing? I'm being honest with you. I was doing that just recently. And God said, speak to the infirmity. And watch me move. Whatever you place your hands to do, I'll do. God, in the name of Jesus, infirmity in the name of Jesus, leave this person. I spoke it. God will do it. We walk around saying, how are you feeling today? Yeah, I have those same symptoms. You know? Oh, my, yes, I've done that just recently. Maybe yesterday. Brett was telling me how he was feeling. I wrote back and said, yeah, I have the same symptoms. Isn't that dumb? No, I don't. If I'm healed in Jesus' name, if he's healed me and he's returning my youth and I don't have the same symptoms Brett has, Brett can keep his symptoms, but I got to say, I don't have those symptoms in Jesus' name. See what we're doing wrong, guys? Come on. Miracles, signs, and wonders are what God's taking us into, but we're going to have to quit praying for them. So you have a room of 1,000 people. Are you going to bring everyone up one by one and pray, oh, God, they need a healing? No, you just do a mass thing and say, in the name of Jesus, every devil in this room leave right now. That's what happens to Benny Hinn's and Catherine Kuhlman's ministries. You know, people were healed all over the place. Nobody prayed for nothing. They just went there believing they were going to be healed, and they were, because they had the faith to be healed. Church, we've been living in the wrong realm. We need to get in the realm of signs, wonders, and miracles, and we need to start doing what God's calling us to do. That's heal the sick, raise the dead. I would like some of you dead ones in here tonight to be raised in the name of Jesus. Aren't you around Christians that are dead? Sure you are. If you don't, then you're not walking in the Spirit and see what you ought to be seeing. There's a lot of dead Christians around. Well, they have dry bones, right? So what are you going to do from now on? Are you going to pray? Are you going to say, in Jesus' name, be healed? Spirit of infirmity, leave them now. When I did deliverances all the time, I would tell them to leave. I said, I have the power in the name of Jesus. You have to listen to me. Leave. And they'd leave. And they say, oh, God, I did one time ask God to come down and deliver somebody, because it just wasn't working with me. I know when I've run out of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I do, and I don't pretend like I don't. I know when I am not, the thing that I'm working with is not working. And so I call on God. And he always shows up and he does what needs to be done. Maybe some of you just need to start calling on God. And let God do the works. And you get the glory. Because it's you standing there doing it, right? Everybody say, wow, look at them. They're anointed. And all the time you're quietly saying to yourself, like I did that one time, God, if you don't show up, I'm in trouble. It was Chris Lynch. And I said, God, please, if you don't show up, I'm really in a lot of trouble here. To myself, I prayed that. Not out loud. I didn't want anybody else to hear that prayer. But I wasn't praying when I was doing the work. I was commanding, but the commands were not working. It's just like whenever Jesus, the disciples come back and said, why couldn't we heal them, deliver them? Because they weren't doing it right. And no difference. Just like whenever the mother was sick or somebody who was sick in the word, as I read that, I wrote it down, but I don't remember reading it. But anyhow, it was just like Jesus having compassion for Lazarus, and he healed Lazarus, brought him forth from the dead. And Peter had compassion on this person, and so he raised her from the dead. And so if Jesus did it, and then Peter can do it, you and I can do it, right? Yes. I want an amen on this corner over here. This corner over here is an amen and me enough. Thank you. So why are we sitting around letting people die or be dead, not raise them? God did it. Jesus did it. Lazarus did it. Boy, God was really good, though. He let you live 900 years. Jesus didn't do that, but God did. So that was really good, right? And Jesus came along and he did what he could do. Then we come along, we do nothing. So it all went downhill then. And see, God wants to come back up again. Now, how many of you are ready now to just lay hands on somebody and say, be healed in the name of Jesus? Just like when my grandson Jimmy, you know, his leg was, whenever he was laying in his mother's womb, it was twisted, and so he was born with a bad ankle. And the doctor said he'll walk in braces all of his life. And I said, oh no, he won't. She came home with a big old brace and them old clunky, great, you know, metal things in between. I said, no, he won't. And I took them braces off. I put them in the bathtub. She said, Mom, you cannot soak those braces off. I said, watch me. And I soaked those braces off. So that was faith. And I said, all right, Jimmy, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk right. He stood up and walked. Everybody's had a brace on his leg since then. She was afraid to go back to the doctors for a while because she didn't want to tell him I soaked the brace off. If I wouldn't have done that, he'd been on braces today at 40-some years old. So whose report are you going to believe? You know, and I, you know, all the things God's let me do because of my faith and sometimes my stupidity. And when I was found out I was sick, I even heard in my spirit, teacher, heal yourself. And that's okay. You can go ahead and say, well, you did all these great things. Why aren't you healed? Ask God that question, all right? Why didn't he heal Job right away? I keep going back that I'm so glad God showed us that. God is all sovereign. He'll do what he wants to do. And I'm going to tell you, I go to pray for people sick, and God said, I'm not going to heal them. Don't pray. Don't do that. And so I don't. I'm not going to go against what God just told me not to do. And somebody told me one time, if you come to the hospital and pray for my mother, she'll live. And God said, no, she won't. I'm taking her now. See, so you have to be close to God. You have to be listening to his voice and then follow his voice. And you have to know your scriptures. Yeah, and just know that you know that you know that you're God's child. And, you know, listen for his voice. Did he tell you whatever you place your hands to do, I will do? Did he say to you, every place you place your foot now becomes holy ground? And then as you walk, wherever you walk, you say to yourself, this is holy ground. Yeah? Do a little jig because you just broke the enemy's back, right? Do you really do? I do that all the time. And when things are going really crazy in my house, I just walk all through my house and, devil, you're a liar. This is holy ground. This is holy ground, devil. You know, I really get excited. He's deaf every now and then. Do you do that? Or do you just say, oh, well, you know, will you please come and pray over my home? No, you're a child of God, supposedly. You have as much power and authority as I do through the name of Jesus. Your feet are supposed to be holy. You walk through your house and you command the devil to leave your house. How are you going to help the people on the street if you can't help your own self? Do you know how many, you know, I'll bet there's five times so far that I've had to pray myself back to life because of this junk that's going through my body. And I knew I was going, if I didn't keep praying, I knew I wasn't going to make it. And I had to keep telling the devil where he was not going to live. And I had to keep praying life. And this is the absolute truth. When I had COVID, I was right on the verge of death twice. And three times since then. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't know how to pray. If I didn't know how to heal the sick, I healed myself. I didn't say, oh, God, heal me. I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm a vessel of the Most High God, and you can't live in this temple. That's how I prayed myself through. God was already said it was finished, so now I have to walk it out. All right? It's sort of hard to say healing without praying, isn't it? But did you get the message tonight?
Yes.
If you have anointed hands, then use your anointed hands. And don't say, God, heal them. No, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Saying, God, heal them, and I'm sorry, that's not total faith. It's not. So how many of you here tonight? Okay, so how many of you were in my sermon? Now, how many of you in your night really and truly want to know that you have the anointing in your hands to heal? And right now, what I'm seeing, this is exactly what I'm seeing, you have your hands out and oil is dripping into your hands. If you come up to the altar, God is going to really anoint your hands to really go forth and heal. You might think in your head, I have hands to heal. You might have been told you have hands to heal, but you haven't healed yet, have you? Then you need this reinforcement tonight. The altar's open.